How many times have we recklessly lashed out in anger, only to regret it the next morning? Whether it's a skirmish with a colleague in the workplace, or a heated exchange with a family member at home, we all know what it's like to do or say something we later regret. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll recalls an intense encounter in 1 Samuel, where Abigail intervened on behalf of her husband. With wisdom and grace, she spoke to David and managed to spare Nabal's life. Her response is a model for us all. Chuck titled today's message, Demonstrating Wisdom.
Look at verse 25. Skip ahead to Act 2 and just take a glimpse at verse 25. Abigail is speaking to David. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He's a fool, just as his name suggests. This is no enabling wife. Her eyes are wide open. She knows the man. We're into chapter 2 already, or I should say Act 2, when we come to this fourth verse. There's a very tactful request for compensation. Very tactful. David doesn't send 300 men with their swords flashing. He chooses 20 young men, very unintimidating group, who come not with swords brandished, but with their hands open. And notice how graciously they say, "While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel," verse 7, "we never harmed them and nothing was ever stolen from them. We did our job." Ask any of them, and they will tell you what we have done while you weren't around to see. Please, here it comes. Share your any provisions you might have on hand with us and with your friend, David. Here's where Nabal the Hun shows his colors. He doesn't have enough brains to do the math. There are 600 of them. There are how many shepherds? And these guys are mean as junkyard dogs. And they're hungry, and they're living in the wilderness, and I'm going to tell them, no way he does that. You do that when you're a fool. So the word gets back to David. Let's cut to the chase, literally. And they say to David, you need to know we're not going to get anything for our work. Verse 14, meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, "Psst, Abigail, listen. David sent messengers in the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at him. And these men have been very good to us and never suffered any harm because of them. Nothing was stolen from us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection. You need to know and figure out what to do. There's going to be big trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered, no one can even talk to him." Don't you love verse 18? Here is wisdom at work. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered. She's already got these sheep ready. She quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before him. First sight. They see this one woman on a donkey. And they're coming down. Look at what she does. Look. She bows low. She gets off the donkey. She bows low before him. She falls at his feet and says, "I accept all blame in this matter. Please listen to what I have to say." David's looking at this remarkable woman. David has stopped all the men, and he listens. I know my husband is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Don't pay any attention to him. He's a fool, just as his name suggests. But I never even saw the young men when they came. Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, now notice what she appeals to. It's called intrinsic motivation. She goes to the depth of David's life and looks ahead. Wisdom does that. She looks ahead. As the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taken vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies be those who try to harm you and be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I've offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty. Well, she's looking ahead. David's anointed king. If he does this, he'll go into the kingdom with a soiled record. He's a murderer. You don't want that on your record, David. Remember, you've got your kingdom ahead of you. It's just a matter of time, and you'll be king. Don't kill anybody. And verse 29, even when you're chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord, your God, secure in his treasure pouch. I love that rendering. Your life is all bound up in his protection. Don't mess it up, please. Don't mess it up. Don't let this be a blemish on your record. She's on her knees. There's the smell of barbecue in the air. All these hungry guys. And David melts. He melts. This scene is David at his best. Look at it. Look at David's response. Where is it? Verse 32. David replied to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day." David saw God's hand in it. This woman is so wise, she models the message of God. And David is not only giving up his anger and rage, he's realizing God's voice is coming through her vocal cords. Then he even says to her, "Baruch Elohim, for your good sense, for your wisdom," verse 33, bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. Just as I said to my assistant, thank you for your wisdom not letting me mail that letter. Thank you for your wisdom to keep me from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. Isn't it interesting? The same man who the previous chapter didn't take vengeance on Saul, now in a rash moment is ready to wipe out Nabal and his family and his servants. But he said, Abigail, you've stepped in. I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning. He accepted her present and told her, shalom. Go in peace. Go in peace. We will not kill your husband. Shalom. Now, curtain closes. The next scene is going to include Abigail coming back to the ranch. And you see the curtain open and there's a bed. It's night. She slides in alone. No one to whisper to her, great job. Thank God for you. What a marvelous moment. You let the Lord use you in this way and I have you to thank. No. Not Nabal. He's drunk. He's throwing a big party in the backyard because sheep shearing time has brought in the money, and he's now enjoying some of the spoils of his labor. And Nabal is back there celebrating. Verse 36, she arrived home. Nabal's throwing a big party, and he's celebrating like a king. Very drunk. So she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David. Of course not. You can't reason with a person loaded up with alcohol. She knows that. She's seen that how many times before? So she slides in bed alone, like some of you ladies do. Nightfall. She didn't tell her husband a thing until the next morning. So the next morning, she sees Nabal. Hangover. Black coffee. So she realizes now that he's no longer drunk, she has some information she might share with him. In the morning, when Nabal was sober, verse 37, his wife told him what had happened. "You need to know, Nabal, yesterday I saved your neck. There were 401 men on their way to kill you, and I stepped in, and we prepared them a meal, and we staved it off." Look at Nabal's reaction. Well, that's kind of the whole thing in a squeal. He had a stroke, lay paralyzed on his bed like a stone. I think it's interesting she didn't quickly call the doctor, but we'll leave that. She is wise. Remember Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Look at the next line. 10 days later, the Lord struck him. She didn't. David didn't. This is the Lord's hand. She stands back, realizes she's now a widow as her husband dies. The play isn't over and the scene isn't finished until you read the response that is just beautiful. And you who love romantic stories and those that end well, here's one for you. Verse 39, when David heard Nabal was dead, he said, once again, Baruch Yahweh. Blessed be the Lord God who has avenged the insult I received from Nabal and kept me from doing it myself. Nabal has received the punishment for his sin. Then David sent messengers to Abigail to ask her to become his wife. Oh. Doesn't that just make your heart beat? David isn't messing around. That woman running loose, I'd like her. You guys going back to the cave, we're going to the tent. A little honeymoon. That's another subject. Anyway, back to the subject. He wants her for his wife. And guess what? She thinks it's a great idea. Messengers arrived in Carmel. They told Abigail, David had sent us to take you back to marry him. She bowed low to the ground and responded, look at this. Not, well, it's the least he could do. Look at her response. I, your servant, would be happy to marry David. I would even be willing to become a slave, washing the feet of his servants. What a woman. How marvelous. There's no bitterness. There's no secret anger that now comes out. Quickly getting ready, she took along 5 of her servant girls as attendants, mounted her donkey, and went with David's messengers. And she became his wife. Wow. That is so good. I love it. David doesn't mess around. He saw enough 10 days ago to know this is the kind of woman who would make a difference in my life. The story ends at verse 42 where he marries Abigail. Wonderful, wonderful story we've had to sort of hurry through. Let me give you some lessons that I learned from the story. Lesson we learned from David, lesson we learned from Nabal, and lesson we learned from Abigail. There are other categories, but for the sake of the story, let's learn lessons from each one. From David, we learned this. Rash reactions never lead to anything good. Rash reactions never lead to anything good. Some of you are given to anger. You have a temper. Unfortunately, at times, you're a little proud of it. You haven't been broken enough to be ashamed of it. And what you don't realize is how difficult you make it for those around you who often have to pick up the pieces of the destruction of your life. Rash reactions never lead to anything good. Nothing good happens to us because of them. Nothing good happens to others. And the will of God is squelched. It is hindered. You don't even leave room for the Lord to intervene. You're so busy carrying out your angry reaction. Could you get your anger under control for the sake of those who want to love you? Could you deal with that since no one else can deal with it for you? Would you please? Nabal. We learn from Nabal that insensitive husbands always leave heartaches in their wake. Insensitive husbands always leave heartaches in their wake. Same could be said of wives, but we're on the husband's subject today with Nabal. Let's stay there. He was insensitive to those men who had provided protection. How wonderful it would have been if he had said simply, "Thank you for doing that. I wasn't even aware you were there. Of course, I can share some of this with you. I have more than enough." He's insensitive. He was insensitive to the reputation that he had in the eyes of others. Even the slave girl knew. You know what a rash man he is. Even the wife knew. Others knew. Everybody knows. I read some time ago that one of the characteristics of strong leaders, one of the things that they often miss is self-awareness. Not aware of how we really are. It might be worth your time if you are in an accountability group. If you have a group of individuals, unfortunately many Nabals would never be there. But if you're one of those with enough sense to be in groups like that, to simply say to the ones in the group, "Could you help me know of any area of my life where I really continue to be insensitive? Could you help me with that?" Who knows how many marriages could be turned around? Who knows how many brokenhearted children could be salvaged? Who knows how many offenses could be resolved if we could just deal with the insensitivity? He was insensitive to his own wife. Instead of thanking her for saving his neck, he just suddenly seized with fear. So insensitive, he didn't even think that all those in his gathering would have been killed. Well, the good news from Abigail, we learned this. Wise wives seldom miss the best use of timing and tact. Wise wives seldom miss the best use of timing and tact. I'm impressed not just with her words, but with the timing of her words. When she sensed danger, she acted swiftly. There was no time to wait around. Well, when she looked ahead, she realized what could occur. No time to waste. When she saw murder in David's eyes, she spoke calmly and kindly, though they had never met. He is the king elect, for goodness sake, with a sword. But she, wise as she was, took the words from God himself and spoke them and calmed him with kindness. Proverbs 16:7, when one's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Calm answer turns away wrath. When she realized how his rage would result in suffering for his own future, she told him that. Pretty courageous. When she finally had her husband's attention, she confronted him with what might have been. How gracious of God to provide a man who is a warrior, David, with a wife like Abigail, who was wise. Who knows how many of the great psalms we read in David's later life might have come from conversations he had with her and the things he learned from her, spending time with this wise, godly woman. Let's bow our heads together, please. Just sit quietly for a few moments. Here at our church, we don't just simply come and go to church and sing a few songs, whisper a few prayers, and then split. These are life-changing occasions. I happen to believe that every person listening right now is listening because of God's sovereign plan. He knew you needed to hear what you've heard. Some of you are the ladies Others of you are the men. There are teenagers listening. There are even children listening. Stories like this are preserved for our understanding and admonition. It's a big word that says for getting our attention. If you are in the category of one of those I have mentioned today, really it's your move. No one can make decisions for you. If you've never trusted Christ, that's your move. Never gotten a handle on your rage, it's your move. Never faced the fact that you're an insensitive spouse, it's your move. Never paused in the middle of a decision to seek God's mind on this matter, it's your move. May God guide us very clearly into specific practical steps that will make a difference in the way we live this week. Lord, we have walked through this story as best we can in the time we've had, and we have seen very real people. Sometimes, to our embarrassment, we've seen ourselves. I pray, Father, that you would use words that are spoken in this way in the lives of those who have heard these words. I pray that your Spirit, who has been called alongside to help us put truth into action, that he will do that. That you'll do that this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning. You'll remind us of some of these things as we're driving, as we're making our plans and decisions, as we're doing our work, as we find ourselves at wit's end, struggling for the right answer. Help us, Father, in the journey to represent the truth, which is what we have come to value. May we never forget, Father, that it is never too late to start doing what is right and begin that work in us today. In the matchless name of Yahweh, Jesus Christ, everyone said, amen.
Proverbs 15 says, a calm answer turns away wrath. And Abigail provides a wonderful model for grace under pressure. You're listening to the conclusion of Chuck Swindoll's message titled, Demonstrating Wisdom. And this is Insight for Living. To purchase CDs of the series Wise Counsel for Troubled Times or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. The Proverbs are filled with timeless wisdom for every aspect of life. And in a moment, Chuck will describe a book he's written based on Solomon's writings. But first, let me draw your attention to a free resource designed to help you dig deeper on your own. I'm referring to the newly updated study notes called Searching the Scriptures. You can view these notes online or just download the PDF and print them out. You'll find one Searching the Scriptures outline for every message Chuck delivers when you go online to insightworld.org/studies. In addition, we're pleased to offer the popular devotional from Chuck called Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. This gives you one more way to engage in practical Bible teaching 5 days a week over the course of 6 months. Chuck?
Thanks, Dave. When you're feeling stressed out, living in survival mode, and you're simply trying to get through your day, you're hardly in a place to receive an academic and scholarly lecture on the virtues of tenacity, right? In those moments, you're probably thinking, just cut to the chase. I need counsel, and I need it right now. Well, that's one of the reasons we gravitate toward the Proverbs. This book contains a collection of brief truisms written by one of the wisest men who ever lived, Solomon addresses real-life issues, such as how to handle difficult people and what to do when temptation comes, and knowing who to trust and how to handle your finances, and even insights on successful marriage and parenting. In my book called Living the Proverbs, I'm inviting you to join me on a 26-week adventure. We'll drink from the deep well of Solomon's wisdom in short and satisfying sips. My book is designed to be consumed in brief daily reflections. But I can assure you of this: your investment will yield revolutionary results. Listen to Proverbs 8:35. This verse promises, "For whoever finds wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." So please give us a call, go online, or write a letter, and let's get started. I look forward to hearing from you today.
And you can request a copy of this book, Living the Proverbs, when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Just give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. When you give a donation, you're blessing someone you may never meet with an opportunity to hear Chuck's Bible teaching. In fact, we often hear from grateful listeners who tell us how much they appreciate having free access to this program on radio, by using our convenient mobile app, or listening over the internet. So thank you for making that possible. And when you give, be sure to request the book, Living the Proverbs. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll begins a new message titled Taking Responsibility, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Demonstrating Wisdom, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.